You ready up there, brother? Good to go. All right. So I'll give you my scripture, and I'll ask for prayer over the message, and I'm going to try to keep it simple this morning, okay? So buckle up. Here we go. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. I would like to take that message, or that scripture, and preach on a message entitled Created. Created. And if I could please have Brother Rob, if you would please pray over the message this morning. Amen. Sometimes I like to share how a message came about, and this morning I was sitting in front of my computer scrolling Facebook. You know, you just kind of go up and down, and there was a live video there from Rehoboth, I'm probably mispronouncing it, Ministries. One of my seminary classmates, he ended up back in his hometown of Chicago, Illinois, and he goes to this large church, and while I clicked on it, I just heard like maybe 30 seconds of the senior pastor, and one of the things he said was, "We are not created to fail. We are created to succeed and to be there for our brothers and sisters." And I personally don't like that style of, but that message, that thought, we are created. And I appreciate the sentiment. I wouldn't deliver it in exactly that tone or that way, but I was like, ooh, that's some good stuff right there. I'm not opposed to, you know, appropriating it with the proper, you know, whatever. Rehoboth Ministries, you can find it on Facebook. If you want to listen to the whole message, you can. You may. Some people like that style. I've been under pastors and preachers who share that way, and, you know, while I find it annoying, if you can get past that, man, that's some fire right there. Ooh. Now, I've also heard people who tried to imitate that, and it's not them. And you're like, who are you playing? That don't even sound like it makes any sense at all. Can I get a witness? Amen. Well, I'm sorry. Just not me. That's not who I am. Do you know we are created? And we are created for a purpose. We are created for a purpose. I'm going to try not to get too far ahead of myself. I have a lot to say, but I'll try to be brief. Yes, I am wearing briefs. So. You might have needed to know that. That might be important. You know, when you're walking around and you see something that's of intricate design, you ever, like, wonder if you can determine its purpose from its design, you know? I see a 67 Ford Mustang. And I can hear the sound in my mind. I spent a little time in Japan. I was over there for a year while I was in the Marine Corps, and you get used to the Japanese style of cars. They pay like $9 per liter, not gallon, $9 per liter for gasoline. So the cars are all really, really fuel efficient. I mean, they're like little tiny cars, you know, just as enough space to put people in it. You're packed in there like sardines because they're trying to make the most of the fuel efficiency. But I've been over there for a while, and I got used to hearing that. And then we pulled up to a stop sign one time, and we were in Genoan City in Okinawa, and I heard boom, 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 boom. I was like, what is that? I'm looking around, and it was a Nissan Skyline, their version of the American muscle car. And I was like, I've never heard of a Nissan Skyline, but I like that car. Here and there it goes. But you don't see a Nissan Skyline and go, Oh, that's for driving safe and secure. Fuel efficiency is not the goal. Fuel efficiency is not the goal. You ever seen a spider web? You ever just stop and really look at a spider web? How intricate it is? How amazingly, sometimes symmetrical they are? You don't go, if I took some super spidery stuff, like Spider-Man, and just shot it up there, would it look like that pattern? Not even. There's a design to it, right? What's the purpose of a spider's web? Yeah, to catch. It's there to catch things. It's all sticky. Whatever goes into that, it gets stuck there. The purpose of it is to catch dinner. Sometimes it catches dust. You walk through it, and now you're like, oh, Lord, get it off me. Ah! You can imagine a spider crawling around on you. Even if there isn't one in the web, you can feel it. Like, you know, you got the little creepy crawlies. Yeah, I was just going to say that. Perfect, thank you. The most beautiful thing I think I've ever seen in the morning is you get up and you see a perfect spider web coated with dew, and you're like, oh, could there be anything more glorious? And you know, something that is designed and something that is created always has a purpose. The purpose and function of a spider's web is to catch stuff, but it can also be a beautiful creation with a little bit of inspiration. I don't think it's by mistake. Those things exist to point to a purpose, to a purpose. Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should talk about them in Sunday morning service. If you're following along, you can see that it does not say that. It says, we're before ordained that we should walk in them. What's the purpose of my life? Well, you're here to exist. You were created in a fashion. You have a design. You have a purpose. Can you tell your purpose from your physical appearance? Yours is to look shiny. I was in class this week. I work for the post office, and I'm in management. And they sent me to a Zoom meeting. You know, it was supposed to be a class. Usually you'd travel to Oklahoma to be in this class with a bunch of other managers for the post office, right? Well, part of it was you had to take this, it's like a psychological evaluation of who you are, you know? Well, and then at the end of the class, they wanted us to declare what our purpose or what our primary strengths were. And I didn't really feel comfortable doing that. So then they said, how could your primary strengths possibly make people feel uncomfortable? I was like, ooh, that's perfect. So I had my face mask, and it's tie-dyed, you know, all like rainbow colors. And I turned off my camera for a second. Put my head down, and I put the mask across the top of my head. And then I was looking down at my paper, and I was reading that I am adventurous, impulsive, and uninhibited. And I said, I can't understand why anybody would think that that could possibly be anything less than the most exciting thing around. You know? And like everybody's laughing. It's like, what is wrong with you, man? And I said, well, you never know what I'm going to say. I could just say anything just about. But those were apparently my strengths, according to this like survey thing, you know, that I tend to be that way. God knows. Right. So my wife, she's now racing cars, and her car is about the color of my shirt. She races over Redwood Acres Raceway. It has a number 50 on the side, and you know, she treats it like it is. Don't get close to my car. Don't breathe on my car. You know, they lined her up. She didn't hear it. We watched the feed of it later. They put it on the internet. And they introduced the drivers for the main event of the bomber class. And And they said, and this is Bridget Steves in the number 50R car, probably the prettiest car on the track. You should have seen my wife's eyes when they said that. Like, yes, that's exactly it. But you don't look at that car and go, it exists to be pretty. And if you heard it, you wouldn't say that it sounds like it's just there to be pretty. What do you suppose the purpose of a race car is? It's built for speed. That's right. And it can look cool and it can look pretty. But you know what? Sometimes the fastest cars, they don't even look all that fast. It ain't what the exterior appearance of it is. Sometimes it's just got the most awesome engine around. Suspension's all right. They got it all dialed in for the track. And they are moving. But I have to believe, I truly, sincerely believe, that we all have a purpose. And a lot of times, your purpose isn't defined by what you look like, what your appearance is. Because you might look like a supermodel. Some people do, you know. What is the purpose of a supermodel? To sell stuff, exactly. I want to look like her or him. I'm going to go buy that because, you know, it's $150. But you know what? If I can look like that, even a little bit like that, that's what I'm going to drape that across the hood of a car. Wow, that car looks pretty good. Revelations 4:11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Did you know that God takes pleasure in your existence? God looks down at you and says, wow, you're a pretty remarkable individual. Oh, you know God, He don't take pleasure in me. 30 pounds overweight. Got a hernia. Got a snaggle tooth. Ain't got no hair. I got hair, but it's kind of, you know, wild and everything. Did you know that God takes pleasure in your existence? He looks at your life and says, there's something beautiful there. There's something magnificent and divine. If you've seen the bumper stickers, you've seen the shirts. God don't make no junk. Don't you work at the, he works at the scrapyard, doesn't he? Is there any junk in the world, brother? Yeah. God don't make no junk. Well, he works at the junkyard. People take the trash in there. He works at waste management, right? Wait, he works at Humboldt Waste Management. There is junk in the world. And God did create all things. Right. He didn't make bent tomato cans. People did. People took what he made and made it for their use, and then when they're done with it, what do? They discard it. Yeah. Or they recycle it now. They try to repurpose it, reuse it. Did you know that God don't make no junk? And if somebody has discarded you or made you to feel less than, it doesn't lessen your value or your importance to God. Doesn't affect it. Not even a little bit. You were created for a divine purpose, for God's glory, and whether or not somebody values you does not in any way change your value to God. Not even a little bit. James 4:14. I'll be real careful with this one. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. She's like, don't encourage him. You'll say it. He'll say it. And you know, I would say it. Whenever somebody shares this scripture, me and my wife just start chuckling. And then I won't tell you why. But It's hilarious. I mean, it's just, you know, you hear somebody preaching and under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and they say something, and everyone's all, yeah, amen, praise God, hallelujah, and, you know, my wife and I are just cracking up because he used the grammar that kind of changed the meaning of the word, you know, and you're like, I can't get past that. I'm off on my own little humorous tangent, you know. What is a vapor? Yeah. Right. You ever take a loaf of hot bread out of the oven, and as soon as it's cool enough to touch, you break it, and you see that little vapor appear above it, you know, and you know the outside is golden and crispy and crunchy, and inside it's going to be soft, melt in your mouth goodness. But a little vapor is... It's what comes when you break it, and you can see that little bit of moisture escape. That's a vapor. How long does a vapor last? Right. A moment. Give me one moment in time. Some of you were alive in 1984, some of you weren't. If you were alive in 1984, the theme song of the 1984 Olympics was created for the Olympics and sang by Whitney Houston, and you could not escape it for months on time. All you could hear was, when I'm more than I thought I could be, and in that one moment of time, I will see. You're not Whitney Houston, brother. No, I am not. I will see eternity. Who won a gold medal in the 1984 Olympics? I don't know. was that little girl, that little tiny one, the one that was like that big? I can't remember her name even. What was it? Mary Lou Retton. I think she was in the 1984 Olympics. And that's all I really remember because she was injured. And then her team needed her to land a vault so that they could place in the medal or whatever. And she was like, she was hurt. And you see her come running down the thing. She hits the thing. She nails it. And she, you know, and then everybody goes crazy. She did it. And then she falls down because she's broken. She's hurt, you know. And people remember that. But until somebody mentioned her name, I couldn't remember her name. The people who won glory in 1984, are they eternal? What if, you ever catch a case of the what ifs? What if I get up there to preach on Sunday morning and I just make a fool of myself? What if I go to church and I catch COVID? What if the election doesn't go like I think it should? What if my team doesn't win? What if I lose my job? What if I go to work and I get in a car crash? What if? What are you going to do about the what ifs? What are you going to do about what ifs? Yeah, you can worry about them. You can waste your time thinking about, oh my goodness, what if this or what if that? What if, you can hyperventilate over it. Is it going to change it? Not a little bit. Not even a little bit. Matthew 6:34 reads, take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Why am I worried about 2021? 2020 has got plenty to worry about right now. Am I worried about 2021? No, I ain't even really worried about November. It's August. I am kind of worried a little bit about November because the turkey trot's coming on, and I haven't run a whole lot lately. I try to traditionally go run on Turkey Day, the 5-kilometer race. It's in Old Town Eureka, and I haven't ran 5 kilometers in quite some time. I'm a little nervous about November, yeah? But if Turkey Day comes and I haven't ran a lick, guess what I'm going to do? unless I'm broken or something, I just cannot stand up. I'm going to go and hobble around for 5 kilometers. Now, I'm worried about how that'll make me feel, but I'm still going to do it. And probably the best way to avoid the consequences of not running until race day would be to get out and what? Prepare for it, right. Don't sit on the couch and worry about it. Because if you sit on the couch and worry about it, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. A lot of times people are bound by the shackles of their own mind. What if? What if? What if? Throw off those shackles and do. Do. Stay in the moment. Nathan, this is the point where you quote the Kung Fu Panda. Yes, this is the moment where I quote the Kung Fu Panda. Yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery. Today is a gift. That is why they call it the present. Do you know you can't affect yesterday and you can't affect tomorrow? All that you can really control is this moment right now. So getting all worked up about what you were yesterday or what you may be tomorrow doesn't do you a whole lot of good. What you have to do is stay in the moment. Stay in the moment. Colossians 1:15 through 17. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him, for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. So you know what? Did you know your life exists at the pleasure of God? He created you in his image, for his glory, for his enjoyment. My life is so miserable. I can't believe it's such a miserable thing. You know, a little bit of pain and a little bit of storm comes into everybody's life. Did you know there are people who actually chase storms around? They are. I like storms, I do. I like to see storms in the distance. Oh, wow, look at that cool storm over there. No, I'm not running around there with a lightning rod trying to catch some. That would be quite an experience, I'm sure. You could probably read about it in the paper. Somebody else could. You won't. You won't read about it in the paper because if you do catch lightning... I will never forget, I was in the Marine Corps and I was out on a ship, and our ship captain was quite an individual. He was actually one of the guys who flew the planes in the movie Top Gun, old movie. They're making another one, it's coming out around Christmas time. But this guy actually was not in the movie, but he was actually flying the planes that were in the movie. So when they were filming him, he was actually in there. He was in the movie credits and all that stuff, yeah. Well, he was our captain, the captain of our ship, and there was a storm in the Pacific, a big storm, one of those ones that gets a name. And he chose rather to run from the storm to run into the storm. So as it's forming, he put the ship right in the middle of the storm. And you know, you can see those big pictures, you know, big swirling, everything going on out there. Did you know right in the eye of the storm? It was the most beautiful, serene thing you've ever seen. You could look straight up and see all of the stars. And the ocean was flat like glass. It was hardly any wake at all. It was beautiful. And in every direction that you looked, you could see these massive thunderheads and lightning striking the water and going all over the sky and stuff. And it was so far away you couldn't even hear it. But you could see it. That's how I want to view a storm. That's how I want to view a storm. Some people, their life is not content. They're not content with their life unless there's some kind of horrible drama happening. Oh my goodness, did you see? Did you hear? Did you? Oh my goodness. Ah! I'd rather be in the eye of the storm. Storm's going to happen. Your relationship to the storm makes a big difference in how you live your life. Talking about the what ifs. Stay in the moment. You know, there's a time to just be still and know. There's a time to be still and know. I am created in the image of God for a purpose, for His eternal glory, and because He enjoys having me as a child. Did you know that God created you for a purpose and that you exist for His pleasure? Be still and know. Colossians 1:19 through 21. For it pleased the Father that in Him, who, in Jesus, should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of His cross, and by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, that's God the Father, by Him, the Son. I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you, that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled. What's reconciled? If you're holding a brick and you're about to chuck it at somebody, you're not reconciled. No. And if somebody's holding a brick and is about to chuck it at you, you may feel all kinds of at peace with them, but you are not reconciled. You're not reconciled. Angry words. I'm always mindful of Daffy Duck. Not Daffy Duck. Donald Duck. And when I was a kid, I could actually kind of hear words in what he was saying. Now all I just hear noise. But he'd be mad at everything. Mad at this, mad at that, mad at everything. If you're angry, you're not reconciled. Not reconciled, not even a little bit. You know what's worse than angry words? Angry actions, yeah? You ever endure angry silence? So angry at you, I can't even look at you. I want to talk to you. I want to hear from you. Is that a state of reconciliation? They're not angry. They're not tossing bricks or frying pans or anything at each other. Are you reconciled? Nope. Not even a little bit. When Jesus came and died on the cross, it was for one purpose: to reconcile us to His Father. So that we don't have to live in a state of fear or remorse or regret. Living in a state of what if? What if I die? What if I go to hell? What if there's no purpose to my life? What if the Son of God came and died in your place to bring you into the family and favor of God? That's reconciliation. Bringing two parties together. Reconciliation. Colossians 1, 22 and 23. In the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard and which was preached unto every creature which is under heaven, whereof, this is not me, I, Paul, am made a minister. What did Paul go around preaching? It wasn't preaching Athena. He wasn't preaching any of the gods of Greece or Rome or any of the other pagan deities. He preached Jesus Christ and Him crucified, buried and resurrected for your redemption and mine. Now, we talk a little bit about, you know, the religious persecution of our time. I read an article this morning about China. Anybody ever heard of the automotive company, the Celine? Celine, it's they're high end. They're like the latest, greatest, innovative cars. I've seen them. Very few of them because they're very expensive. The guy who created them, he has all of these great ideas about how to make cars more efficient, and you know, by design, they are very, very advanced cars. Well, he was offered by the Chinese government a place and like close to $1 billion, like $900 million total, to build his factory in China. Guess what China did recently? They filed 150 patents on his idea. And then they expelled him from the country. And now the Celine Automotive Company is now property of the Chinese government. Who just took it? They just took it. Well, that wouldn't happen.
But he got paid.
Well, he was supposed to have all this intellectual property. What he didn't know is the people who came to work for him at the behest of the Chinese government were filing patents that excluded him from it. So now they own legally all the intellectual property that he created. And they have the factory. Well, he didn't get all of that. I mean, the profit, that was to build the factory and all this stuff and, you know, design and everything. And they let him do it until it got very, very, very profitable. And then they said, okay, we'll take it back now. Ouch. I remember a Chinese government when I was young. I remember watching it on Saturday afternoon, interrupted the Saturday morning cartoons. Where these kids in China had made an image of the Statue of Liberty. And they stood there and they chanted slogans like freedom and liberty, live free or die. What did the Chinese government do? Slaughtered them. Not only did they slaughter them, they then billed their parents for the bullets they used to kill their children. Because if you had raised your children better, they wouldn't have been out there protesting our government. That's the Chinese government that I remember from my youth. And they haven't gotten any less totalitarian in the 30 or so years. How old are you, Nathan? It's been a while. It's been a while. Did you know that Jesus Christ died for Chinese people? Did you know that every person in China has a purpose and is part of God's plan? Do they have the freedom to come and worship? Owning a Bible in China is a criminal offense. They can kill you for owning a Bible. Did you know that? If they don't like you, if you've become a political dissident, they'll plant a Bible with your kids. And then they'll find it at the school, and then they'll come and kill you all. And we complain about not being able to sing or gather or have to wear a mask. There is a purpose, and now there is a power, and there is a place for America. And let me tell you this, it's not to wave the red, white, and blue. It's to be a place that's free to worship Christ. If you look at the last couple hundred years, where did nearly all of the missionaries come from? They went from America into all the world. Now, name Jesus in the public square. It's expensive, she said. You get cited for it. How dare you have church without our permission? We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. Among these, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That's in our founding documents. Those gifts, those presents, that will that's expressed is not because the founding fathers had a good idea. They were saying, because there is a God in heaven and He created us all equal in His image, we should believe and do believe that these inherent rights are given to men. And then they founded the documents. The Constitution of the United States of America does not give you liberty. What does the Constitution of the United States of America do? It does not limit you or I one little bit. Every single enumerated article of the Constitution of the United States of America does what? It limits. Government can do this. Government cannot do that. Our freedoms are inherent, given by God, our Creator. We are all created in His likeness and in His image. Those rights are the same rights that are gifted to anybody made in the image of God anywhere in the world. We exist in the liberty that we have because we have a document that limits what the government can do. That's it. What ifs? Talking about being created. Ephesians 4:24. And that ye put on a new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. What's wrong with the church in America? Well, no, it's not that style of preaching. But if it becomes more about Sunday morning observance and more about saying the right things and saying hallelujah and raising your hands on cue, but there is no substantial change in your manner of living, we are become powerless. The church has become powerless, ineffectual. Ineffectual. Jesus said, if the salt has lost its savor, what good is it? It's good for nothing. Jesus was speaking of the church. He said, it's worth nothing. Throw it out. Let it be trodden underfoot of man. You don't put salt on your mashed potatoes and expect them to taste like the mashed potatoes taste like without salt. If you were to put salt on your mashed potatoes and it didn't make any difference in the way that they tasted, why did you put salt on there in the first place? Just raise your blood pressure. If you bought salt at the store and it didn't actually add the seasoning that you expect from salt, what would you do with it? I'd take it back to Costco and get a refund. I would. I totally would. I paid for this salt. It better taste like salt. You know that Jesus purchased you and I? Talking about being created in the image of God for a purpose. For a purpose. Jesus said, if the salt has lost its savor, Colossians 3:10, and have put on the new man, which was renewed in the knowledge after the image of Him that created him. What's a Christian supposed to be like? The word Christian literally means Christ-like. It was originally an epithet. It was an epithet. All of the pagans around the world where Paul went, he said, you know, little Christians. They were saying, you little Christs. It was a pejorative. We call ourselves Christians now. What does it mean? Christ-like. Christly. Are we? Are you, Nathan? All the time. All the time. Every moment of the day or night. Ooh, Nathan, got quiet in here. good listening weather. The eye of the storm, huh? Getting close to closing here. Hosea 10:12. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. You know, if you will break up your fallow ground and say, you know what, I'm going to lay down this habit, this sin, this problem, this concern that I have, if I will just lay it down and instead trust in God, God will allow you to grow. Agriculturally, if you have fallow ground, the nutrients that are there to grow crops are there, they're present. But if they are underneath the soil and you can't get the seed that you're planting down to where the nutrients are, you break up your fallow ground by turning it over. Let me tell you right now, as somebody who's been fallow ground and been plowed up a few times in my life, being plowed up spiritually isn't much fun. It ain't much fun at all. But what happens if you allow yourself to be exercised by that spiritual plow? Then righteousness can take root. And it should take root. We are not created, and you can look at me and say, thank God. We are not created to look pretty. And you may look pretty, that's true, but we aren't created to look a certain way. You're born with a genetic predisposition, but you know, you can customize yourself in many ways. You can. I've broken fingers, hernia, overweight. I shaved my head because I ain't got much hair on it. But none of that exterior work is the kind of work that Christ is interested in. Christ is interested in the inward person. Did you know you can't hide being a Christian? I'll never forget being in seminary, and one of the brothers graduated, and he worked at one of the local businesses, and he told the pastor of the seminary, I made it through Bible school, and nobody even knew I was a Christian. At work, outside of church. And the pastor looked at him and said, somehow you missed the goal here, son. Now, you don't proclaim that you're a Christian by wearing Jesus rocks my soul. And I've seen the Jesus' gym, got the Lord's gym, his pain, your gain. You can put a Jesus bumper sticker on your car, you can wear a cross. You can put on the outward trappings of faith. That's not how you live a Christian life. How do you live a Christian life? Jesus, make me a little bit more like you. Because you know that Nathan has a propensity to mess things up left, right, center, all morning, all afternoon, all day, all night. Lord, please have mercy on me one more time. Keep me from the evil. Psalm 51:10. Create in me, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. You know, we can go to church and we can edify one another, we can shake each other's hands, and we can not adhere to social distancing. But it really doesn't mean a whole lot if you're not going to accept that you are created in the image of God for his pleasure and live for his glory. We are created. And you know, I don't know, I'm not a craftsman. I never have been. The little time that I was in construction, though, I did physical work. I work at the post office now. It's not physical work. Okay. But sometimes I'll walk down streets that I paved past curbs that I worked on. I poured that curb with a lot of hard work. It's still there. But you know, when you create something, you kind of take a sense of pride in it. You want to see it used to its best effect, right? God feels the same way about you and I. He doesn't want your life to be empty, vacant, corrupt, miserable. He wants the very best for you and for me. And you don't get it out there in the world. I point out the back door. The world exists wherever you allow it to. You can bring the world into church, sit there and think about it the whole time that Nathan's up here spouting off. But you're not going to find that sense of purpose in the world. And you're not going to find the ability to fulfill it in the world. Jesus said, if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things that the world offers will be given to you for your benefit. But you don't get it the world's way. There is a pretty good Christian t-shirt. I didn't even know what it was. I saw it because it was all stylized, N-O-T-W. It was about the same time as the No Fear stickers. I had to puzzle it out. That's an N. That's an O. There's a T. We are in this world, but we're not supposed to be of it. So I'm going to close here.